to the cemetery because the weather was bad. And in John Bolton's book, it says exactly the same thing, that the trip was canceled because of the weather and not because Trump had bad words to say about our veterans. Now, of course, they've managed to drag out one other official who says, oh, yes, Donald Trump said all of that. He said all of that for sure, for sure, for sure. And they're trying to make a big deal about that. I think they're trying to distract away from Nancy Pelosi's incident at the beauty salon. And there's been another embarrassment for Joe Biden when he was in Kenosha, Wisconsin. His campaign had set up a meeting for community members to ask him questions, but it was derailed after one attendee admitted to being handed a script. Apparently, when she got in there, they handed her a paper and said, this is what you will ask, you know, Joe Biden. And she replied, I'm going to be honest, Mr. Biden, I was told to go off this paper, but I can't. We need the truth, and I am part of the truth. I was born here, raised here. I have to give you the truth of the people. And the truth of the matter is we are heavily angry, not angry as to where people say, oh, they're protesting. There's a difference between a protester and a rioter. Well, it's a reminder that, yeah, Joe Biden's being propped up. Everything is scripted. He can't think on his feet here. Now, back in 2017, the Gateway Pundit exclusively reported that a Secret Service agent was suspended for a week for shoving then Vice President Joe Biden after he cupped his girlfriend's breast while the couple were taking a photo with him. The situation got so heated, a source who was a Secret Service agent at the time said that others had to step in to prevent the agent from hitting the then Vice President. Now, speaking on condition of anonymity, the agent asserted that we had to cancel the VP Christmas get together at the vice president's house because Biden would grope all of our wives and girlfriends' rear ends. Now, apparently, a Secret Service agent has inadvertently confirmed that this did, in fact, happen. So, of course, we know about Biden's history of inappropriate touching, especially of younger people. Now, Joe Biden came on out making the claim that a black man invented the light bulb, and everybody's taking the task about that, saying, you know, that's utterly ridiculous. But Biden came on out and said, you know, this white guy named Thomas Edison didn't invent the light bulb. It was by a black guy. Well, he's sort of kind of maybe correct, but not accurate. The light bulb itself was invented by Thomas Edison. But the innovation used to create a long-lasting light bulb with a carbon filament came from African-American inventor Lewis Latimer. So you may want to keep that in mind here. So Latimer didn't invent the light bulb, but he made it a lot better. Now, Donald Trump is trolling Joe Biden for ignoring the COVID rules and shaking hands when he landed in Wisconsin to meet Jacob Blake's family and claims there is no enthusiasm for his rival as he jets to Pennsylvania for his own rally. And looking at the videos of the motorcades, that does appear to be the case. Apparently, people were out there waiting in the rain for an hour for the motorcade to come on by. Down in Australia, a news anchor is saying the Democrats are propping up Biden like Weekend at Bernie's. And I've already seen several graphics that have been sent to me, Weekend at Biden's, where they're basically trying to hold him up. And that is exactly what's going on here. Now, more bad news for Joe Biden. A Ukraine judge has ordered Joe Biden to be listed as an alleged perpetrator of crime prosecutors firing. Now, Democrats jumped the gun by putting all their faith in the so-called whistleblower to give them the opportunity to impeach Donald Trump over his Ukraine phone call. This backfired in a spectacular fashion. It also put presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden back in the hot seat. Biden allegedly used his power as vice president to pressure top Ukrainian officials to remove a prosecutor who was investigating Burisma Holdings, a shady gas company that was paying Biden's son, Hunter Biden, around $80,000 a month to sit on the company's board. As a side note, Hunter Biden's experience with energy companies can be written on the back of a postage stamp. So a judge in Victor Shokin's case has ordered Biden be named as an accused perpetrator of Shokin's firing. Now, Trump has fired back at an incompetent Cuomo in an escalating battle of words, accusing him of having the worst record on death from COVID after the New York governor said he'd need an army to visit state amid defunding warning. Mr. Cuomo, Trump does have an army, just in case you'd forgotten. He also has a Navy, an Air Force, the Marines, Coast Guard, and the Space Force. Now, Kayleigh McEnany came on out commenting about Andrew Cuomo, saying that it's rare you hear a Democrat governor nakedly admitting to failure. which is essentially what Cuomo did. The latest poll in Pennsylvania is tied up 46-46 with President Trump receiving 27% of the black vote over "You Ain't Black" Joe Biden. The polls are definitely tightening all over the U.S., and the Democrats are getting very, very nervous. Of course, they're planning to steal the whole thing with this, you know, mail-in ballots counted after Election Day nonsense. I mean, they're pulling out all the stops. They're getting ready to just get Trump out. Prior to the election, Democratic election officials citing systemic racism will announce hundreds of new polling places to be opened in heavily Democrat urban areas in Democrat-controlled swing states such as North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. Election Day morning, Democrats across the country will refuse to show up at the in-person voting sites in Republican areas citing COVID-19. And without Democrat poll workers, the polls cannot open. Meanwhile, in heavily Democrat areas, the polls will open on time. Violent demonstrations will break out in suburban areas. Thugs claiming to oppose systemic racism will show up outside suburban polling places to intimidate voters. As Election Day progresses, citing systemic racism, Democrats will file multiple lawsuits to keep the polls in heavily Democrat urban areas open past the statutory closing time. Rather than ask for the same extensions, the befuddled GOP will likely do nothing. Once the polls close and counting begins, President Trump will look like he's ahead, but Democrat election officials across the country will announce unspecified problems counting the ballots, and on and on and on and on and on. They're not even trying to hide the fact that they're going to steal this election. Okay, getting on to the protests here. Tomorrow will mark 100 days of ongoing protest in Portland. And 100 days is, wait till it's 3 months. More than 3 months already. And the city of Portland won't do anything about it. And apparently, a Black Lives Matter activist got charged with 19 felonies for tear gassing police in San Diego. Turns out he's from right here in Indiana. So we were thinking we were being left out of all this stuff, but apparently not. Apparently we have Black Lives Matter protesters somewhere around in this state, probably up to Indianapolis or out in Evansville. Fox News has been showing this video all day long about this car plowing through the crowd of Black Lives Matter supporters in Times Square. Demonstrators in New York City are injured as they protest the death of Daniel Prude, who was suffocated by cops with a spit hood as violence breaks out in Rochester where it happened. The Rochester mayor has suspended the officers involved in the fatal march arrest of Daniel Prude, who suffocated after cops put a spit hood over his head and pressed his face down until he stopped breathing. Now, he was resuscitated, but died in the hospital a week later. The coroner said there was PCP in his bloodstream at the time of his death, or rather, there was PCP in his body, but they're saying it was, in fact, a homicide here. Now, getting on over to the shooting of Dion Kay, the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department has released the body camera footage of the fatal officer-involved shooting of Dion. At approximately 3:51 p.m., uniformed police responded to a call to investigate a man in a vehicle with a gun. When they arrived, they found four people in the vehicle. Two of them fled, including Kay. During the chase, Kay brandished a firearm. At this point, an officer fired one single shot, hitting Kay in the chest. The suspect was transported to the hospital where he died. Apparently this K was a validated gang member as well. All right. A Black Lives Matter protester arrested in Washington, D.C. Saturday night has also been seen at riots in Portland, Oregon, and Kenosha, Wisconsin. Somebody is paying for all these plane tickets. There have been numerous reports the protesters are being funded by outside agents in order to hurt Trump's chances of reelection, and apparently they are true. Jeremy Vasco, 27, was arrested during violent clashes between police and protesters in D.C. He had been working as a senior engineer at Microsoft until May, but left the company and has been on the road supporting the BLM movement ever since. Prosecutors, of course, are not pursuing the case. It means he's somebody's agent provocateur. Trump is still threatening to pull funding from anarchist cities. Democrat mayors are livid, as Cuomo demonstrated earlier. And he's out there saying that these Democratic mayors have permitted violence and the destruction of property by turning a blind eye to riots. Says, my administration will not allow federal tax dollars to fund cities that allow themselves to deteriorate into lawless zones. it calls on the Attorney General to identify anarchist jurisdictions and have them publicly listed. Apparently over in Portland, there was a threat to blow up a Portland police station with an, quote, undetectable bomb unless police stood down from Black Lives Matter protests in the Oregon City. The man apparently was a member of Antifa and BLM, very frequently on the front lines. The scary part of groups like Antifa and radicals within the BLM movement is that it's almost like they are trying to ruin the foundation of America. But the FBI managed to stop the bombing in time. They're calling it a close call. Okay, now, here's the good news. Rampant rioting comes back to haunt Black Lives Matter as poll reveals tumbling support. Remember what I said the other day about the brand has become toxic? Anyway, Politico did a poll showing support for Black Lives Matter movement is slipping. Trump attacks take a toll on Black Lives Matter support. I think it's Black Lives Matter and their behavior that's killing the support. You don't go out and alienate the public, which is exactly what they've been doing. You don't make the public afraid of you. They're not going to support you if they're afraid of you. That doesn't work. It never has. So let's talk about Nancy Pelosi a little bit. I know Claire's going to have a few choice comments about that as well. And there's an amazing commercial that's already come out about that. It ends saying, blow them all out of office in November. And it's about her little trip to the beauty salon, which was supposed to be closed, according to Governor Newsom. And she wasn't wearing a mask, despite all of her lecturing to everybody else to wear masks. And the owner of the salon, Erica Kios, I think it's pronounced, started a GoFundMe page and has amassed more than $147,000 in 24 hours, and it continues to climb. So maybe she'll be able to keep her business after all. Although she says she's going to move it, and the governor of South Dakota has already issued, basically rolled out the welcome mat and say, you'll like it up here. A group of women held a protest outside House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's San Francisco home on Thursday, stringing a tree outside with hair dryers and curlers and chanting about freedom as the Democrat faces the backlash for being busted in a salon in violation of the city's coronavirus restrictions while citizens are prohibited from doing so. It is ultimate hypocrisy. And Pelosi's still out there saying, I was set up. It was a setup. They set me up. And Trump had some choice comments about that. I said, well, if Nancy Pelosi can get set up by a hair salon owner, then she shouldn't be leading the House of Representatives. Okay, here's an interesting story. This is coming out of stationgossip.com. An African-American history professor at George Washington University who pretended to be black and just finally came out and said she's actually white. Actually, she's Jewish. She was pictured in a yearbook of a fee-paying school where she boycotted the prom and planned a flag burning. Neighbor says the disgraced academic called her white trash. So this African-American history professor says, admitted she's been pretending to be black her entire career. She did an online confession saying, I am a cultural leech. Yes, you are. Absolutely. All right, Mark Zuckerberg has come on out and said Facebook will ban all new politics ads weeks before the election, remove misleading claims about voting, and flag any attempt to claim victory before results are fully confirmed. Well, here's my question. Isn't Facebook, by doing this, interfering in the election itself? Now, Mark Zuckerberg says he personally told Donald Trump his rhetoric is problematic, as he launches crackdown on election misinformation and warns against declaring victory prematurely. See, they're all going to this thing where Trump is going to appear to win on election day, and then they're going to come back with, oh, look, we found more of these mail-in ballots stuck in a closet back here. And even though they don't have postmarks or anything else, they must be counted, and they're going to put Biden over the top. Now, Facebook is going to pay users to deactivate their accounts weeks ahead of the U.S. presidential election in a bid to understand how social media impacts democracy. Well, I'm wondering just which users they want to deactivate their accounts. Conservatives? It sounds to me like Facebook wants to interfere with the election themselves. They're just trying to be clever about it. Another story out of Patriot Rising. Just in time for the elections, Facebook's new terms of service update sounds a lot like censorship. This would not be the first time efforts have gone into shaping public perception by censoring or hiding information from the people. The CIA's Project Mockingbird was very clear on that, and it's more than likely that project was never shut down. The key question is what we believe about our world really true? And if it isn't, how do we find truth when the independent media, that's us, is being shut out on social media platforms? Can we truly trust mainstream media for their long-held reputation of poor journalism and deception? And again, going back to that story in The Atlantic, accusing Donald Trump of calling World War One dead losers and suckers. I don't trust The Atlantic. All right, so let's talk a little bit about COVID-19. It has been revealed that the standard tests being used for the U.S. to diagnose COVID-19 cases are far too sensitive, with the vast majority of people, 90%, marked down as being positive, actually turning out to be negative. Top U.S. virologists have been stunned by revelations about the laxity of the COVID testing program. It turns out that tests that deliver a simple binary positive or negative result are not fit for the purpose, as they tell us nothing about the contagiousness of the patient. Data from three U.S. states, New York, Nevada, and Massachusetts, shows that when the amount of virus found in a person is taken into account, up to 90% of the people who have tested positive should actually have been negative, as they are only carrying tiny amounts of the virus, are not contagious, pose no risk to others, and have no need to isolate. Apparently, there's been a study done by UCLA and Stanford that finds for the average 50 to 64-year-old, chances of dying from COVID-19 are 1 in 19.1 million, with an M. Now, Cuomo is saying that they will not respond to the request on COVID-19 nursing home deaths until after the November election. That's as much as putting up a neon sign flashing saying, we've got something to hide. Another report along the same thing, 90% of positive COVID tests should have been negative. CNN struggles to keep the lockdown mask narrative afloat after it was revealed that only 6% of COVID-19 victims died of coronavirus alone. And, you know, Nancy Pelosi's little stunt, the beauty parlor, I mean, she's supposedly in possession of the facts by virtue of her position in the government. It shows that she doesn't think masks are necessary, and she doesn't think the salon should be shut down. She went into that salon knowing she was perfectly safe. She sat there without the mask knowing she was perfectly safe. Just think about that for a while. All right, we're going to take a break for commercials. We'll be back after these two words.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Cleaner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Cleaner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Cleaner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
We the people, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves.
Welcome back to our show here, and a friendly reminder and nudge in the shoulder that Republic Broadcasting is in the middle of a perpetual fundraiser. And folks, we really need your help to keep doing what we're doing. We don't have corporate sponsors. We don't have non-governmental organizations giving us money. We don't have any conservative billionaires out there who are helping us get the truth out to the American people. We rely on you, and it does cost a certain amount of revenue to keep Republic Broadcasting on the air. There are hosting costs, electric bills, telephone bills, rents, and we have to constantly be replacing and upgrading equipment in order to keep the best possible broadcast going out to you. So the postal address where you can send a check, money order, or if you prefer, anonymity cash is Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. The phone number where you can make a credit or debit card donation is 800-724-2719, extension 3. Getting on back to COVID-19, interesting little story that came out of Station Gossip. It appears COVID-19 is starting to fizzle out across the nation, according to recent evidence. We may have plateaued, and it may, in fact, be on its way out. I made a prediction to my wife earlier saying COVID-19 will cease to be a problem the day after the election. Another little interesting article from antiempire.com. An actual plague wouldn't have required the government to propagandize us that there's a plague. If you go back and you study historical plagues, everybody already knew there was a plague. They could see the bodies piling up. And so more and more this looks like, you know, if you're having to force folks to take plague precautions with violence, you probably don't have a plague. I think that's exactly where we are here. Tucker Carlson came on out and said the World Health Organization say COVID-19 isn't about a virus. It's about changing our society, about global warming. And apparently Bill Gates agrees. This is part of the social engineering agenda. Over in Russia, their Sputnik V COVID vaccine might actually work. Moscow scientists claiming that the jab that stunned scientists when Putin gave it world first approval proved safe and effective in early clinical trials. And it became the first vaccine to be approved for mass use last month. The move sparked alarm because there was no scientific evidence to prove it works. But two early clinical trials published today in The Lancet indicate it's both safe and effective. All right, turning to the international news now.
The EU and France call on the U.S. to reverse their unacceptable sanctions against the International Criminal Court's war crimes investigators. Now, what this is all about is the World Court, the International Criminal Court, is looking at Israel to see if they have been committing war crimes against the Palestinian people. And, of course, Israel does not want that to happen. And Israel's slave, the United States government, doesn't want that to happen. So they're flinging sanctions at the court and at their prosecutors and judges. So the U.S. sanctions against two International Criminal Court officials are unacceptable and unprecedented and should be reversed, to the EU's top diplomat, while the French foreign minister called them a grave attack on the court. The sanctions are unacceptable measures that attempt to obstruct the court's investigations and judicial proceedings. And let's see, his French foreign minister, Jean-Yves Le Drian, I butchered that one pretty good. Anyway, he condemned the sanctions as a grave attack against the court, saying it puts into question multilateralism and the independence of the judiciary. I mean, if you want to put that in context, imagine that the U.S. government puts sanctions on the United States Supreme Court because they might rule in a direction the U.S. government doesn't like. That's how serious this is. Over in Lebanon, they found another 4 tons of ammonium nitrate near the scene of that port explosion. Chilling reminder of what happened a month ago that killed 191 people and basically wrecked the port here. Okay, turning to the economic news. They're actively inflating the stock market bubble to counter deflationary forces. They had a rough day on the stock market. It was way down at the beginning, struggling up toward the end. The Dow ended 190-something down here. Trillions are now whooshing by at a fast pace. The U.S. gross national debt, the total of all Treasury securities outstanding, jumped by $1 trillion with a T over the past 5 weeks from May 4th through June 8th, and by $2.5 trillion for the 11 weeks since March 23. The total U.S. national debt outstanding has reached $26 trillion. Now, the unemployment numbers are out, and they're saying unemployment is at 8.4%. Conceding for the moment that that might be an accurate number, it's kind of illustrative to watch the reactions to it, because the Republicans are saying, well, see, the economy's starting to improve. We're starting to get back from the COVID economic takedown. And the Democrats, especially Biden, are out there saying, well, it's not good enough. It should be more. And Trump is a failure because it's not higher, not higher employment. All right, we've got to take another break for commercials. We'll be back after these few words. We're going to go ahead and open the phone lines now. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
The newspaper? Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! Huh. For some reason, a majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper does not give out the important attention on what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com, where reality shatters illusion.
And welcome back to our show here, and the phone lines are open. 800. Pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food. Okay. Just as an inquisitive mind like myself, what I'm about to. There we go. All right, the phone lines are open. 800-313-9443. And Natural News. This story just now came in. Apparently, Natural News says that the Ford Foundation is actively funding Black Lives Matter and Antifa terrorism across America, and that the Ford Foundation is linked both to Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. So it's all just another psyop here. Okay, getting on back to other news here, the economic news. China to gradually sell 20% of its U.S. Treasury holdings, may dump it all in case of a military conflict. So that's the little nuclear bomb they're holding over Wall Street right now. If they were to dump all the treasuries they're holding, that would just crash the entire market. Ever since the early stages of the U.S.-China trade tech virus cold war 4 years ago, there were frequent rumors, which eventually gave way to increasingly legitimate chatter, that China was looking to go full nuclear option by selling some or all of its $1-plus trillion of U.S. Treasury securities, which incidentally has not been too far off the mark. After peaking in 2013, Chinese holdings of U.S. debt have been steadily declining and not so steadily in the aftermath of the Chinese devaluation and are currently near the lowest level in 8 years. Out in California, they're too broke to pay their pensions, but now they're looking at paying reparations to black people who were never slaves. Does this sound like wise management? Newsom? I don't think so. Do you remember Ebonics? That came and went some years ago where they were out there saying, well, you know, listen, speaking good English is white supremacist, and apparently it's back now. After scholars decried English as an anti-black linguistic racism, the nation's leading academic language association acceded to the demand that black students no longer have to think about proper English, let alone use it. And the Conference on College Composition and Communications has released an official statement demanding that teachers stop using academic language in standard English and teach the black language in college classrooms. In the statement entitled, "This Ain't Another Statement, This Is a Demand for Black Linguistic Justice,"
a group of U.S. English professors issued a long series of overlapping and somewhat redundant demands regarding language use and teaching in higher education, including the rejection of standard English and that teachers, researchers, and scholars put some respect, R-E-S-P-E-C-K, on black language. Power of Babel. Really. All right, we're going to go ahead and take a phone call from Dee in Florida. Hello, Dee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind? Okay, I guess Dee didn't want to talk. SpaceX has successfully tested a prototype of its Starship, which is developing with a view to Moon and Mars missions. The rocket is a long way from an inaugural manned flight, but Elon Musk is happy with progress. Apparently, he said, turns out you can make anything fly. Starship prototype serial number 6, or SN6, took off from a launch pad at SpaceX's facility in Boca Chica, Texas, on Thursday, yesterday. The stainless steel rocket ascended some 500 feet above ground, was able to land without complications less than a minute later. This was the second successful test flight by SpaceX in a month, with an SN5 prototype performing the same stunt on August 4th. The company released an impressive video from the launch, which combined drone footage and shots from the cameras installed on the rockets itself. Way to go, Elon. Way to go, Elon. Okay. Now, the Justice Department is planning to file antitrust charges against Google in the coming weeks as Attorney General Bill Barr sets a September deadline over some lawyers' objections to finish the federal inquiry. I think this would be a really good idea. I mean, Google is a monopoly search engine. A lot of the other smaller search engines are using Google servers. And Google censors. Google filters. Okay, looks like we've got Dee in Florida has come back. We had a technical glitch there. Dee, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. This is Dee. Hey, I was calling because I think a lot of people are not really seeing the big picture. And it's
okay.
Because everything we get is kind of parsed. And so I kind of want to give you a couple different things that I've seen from this COVID perspective, right? Like, for example, once they started to shut down these pretty much worldwide, they shut down the economy so that they could bring in this this state of need. Like, you know, it's what do they call it, the Hegelian dialectic?
Hegelian dialectic,
yeah. Beg for, that's right, yeah. So people will beg for, like, world communism. They're going after, like, for example, the food supplies because they're going to go test for COVID at, you know, Foster Farms and other places. Like, I think California is doing most of the testing right now. You've got Michigan doing it as well. And the immigrants are on a couple of different levels. You know, most of them are leaving the farms because they don't want to get tested, because they know if they get tested, that means quarantine, that means no work. And so they're basically going after the food supply. And this is another thing that communists do, is they go after the food supply. They did that mm-hmm. in China. They did that in Russia. And so you can see what they're doing, and they've demoralized our men as well. Through divorce court, for example, one of the reasons why men will pretty much lose so much, such as the children and the money and things like that, is because they're actually teaching the divorce attorneys to say that either they were assaulted or molested. You can actually find that video. You can watch. There's a video called Divorce Corp, and they show how it's a big corporation with lots of money involved. But at the same time, what they do is they know that no judge will give custody to a father who's been accused of abuse or sexual abuse. Then you can see how in every movie it is pretty much white men are bad. Either they're pedophiles, rapists, you know, everything besides a good, wholesome thing to be a white man. And that is how they demoralize the people. You know, that's they're demoralizing the white, which is the majority. And since we are, like, one of the last gun-owning countries, they know that they have to get a civil war going in this country. And they've done this in Yugoslavia. They did this in other places as well. They do division based upon either by class or by race, you know, things like that. And what mm-hmm. we can see here is they're dividing the people based upon race, but at the same time, we see mostly white people out there. And a lot of times what you see is, like, for example, you'll notice that some of the people that are at the head of this have a certain name. And when you look over that name, you start to realize, well, you can see who the instigators are. For example, the Rittenhouse shooting. You notice one of the names of one of the people that was shot. Look at the head of Antifa, and you'll not the head, but actually a few steps down, and you'll see who they are and what they're planning. So they've done this before, and they've done it for years and years and years and years. And I think what they're planning next is they're going to pretend to assassinate Trump because they're setting up the stage for this. And I think once I've said this now, they're probably not going to do it. But at the same time, though, I can see the stage being set because you remember you got the Kathy Griffin holding his head up. You've got the celebrities coming out with the psychological operation of, you know, we're going to, you know, burn down the White House with Johnny Depp and Madonna both said that. Well, now what you've got is you've got Trump saying things like there was a shooter on the White House lawn. That was probably about 2-3 weeks ago. And now
yes.
You've got these people in black garb coming in on a plane that were, you know, taken over by Trump. And Trump, of course, came out and said these are very bad players, you know, blah, 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 blah. And, of course, said something bad against Biden. So as you can see, what I think is you've got they pretty much have been citing all the presidents for years. Now, what they've done is they put Trump in because what you have is it's a WWF circuit. You know, these are this is your player. This is the other player. And like the other caller, I guess one of my people had told me that somebody called in and said that the ballots are going to go, the mail-in ballots are going to go in Biden's direction. Well, that would be the perfect setup for the assassination of Trump, because if he wins and then the ballots come in and then they say, well, he lost, and then to ignite the right, because the right now is not getting ignited, even though people are getting shot in the streets. They got the knockout game. They've got so many different things that are going on against whites, but you notice how they're not being triggered.
Yes.
So they need a trigger, and I think that trigger is the assassination of Trump or the pretend assassination of Trump. And in that case, that would pretty much ignite the right so that we get a civil war coming in. And once we get the civil war going, they're going to bring in the UN troops, which is why we have thousands of UN trucks here in Florida and things like that, as well as Deagle.com saying the population of the United States will be 99 million by 2025. That really puts all the pieces in place when you see that kind of stuff going on.
That's an interesting scenario, and I wish I could argue against you. I don't know about the pretend assassination of Donald Trump, but I think that if in point of fact Trump is the winner on election night, and then a week later they say, oh, well, look, all the mail-in ballots went for Biden, I think that could definitely stir up more trouble. And right now, because of all the rioting by Black Lives Matter and Antifa, the U.S. population is primed for violence.
Right, and it's been let go by Trump. Trump has not done anything yet. At the same time, that's exactly what we pay our taxes for. As a matter of fact, when they started the Army was supposed to defend within our borders from all enemies, domestic and foreign. And right now we have a domestic problem with communists, you know, they're raising the fist of communism, actually taking over and destroying our economy on top of COVID. How is that okay?
Well, I don't think it's okay.
I know, but I mean,
they don't listen.
You see what I'm saying? As a president, I can see how he's using it for, you know, possible election gains. But when you look at it as a president's point of view, if we had, you know, Thomas Jefferson in there, this thing would be cleaned up in 30 minutes, you know? And he's got
yes.
Thomas Jefferson on the wall. You know, so either he is part of the game, which I think he is. I mean, he does have the Tree of Life Award on his wall.
Yes.
So, you know, it is very possible that he's part of the game. And if he's part of the game, then we are looking at, you know, basically the only way that they're going to take out the guns from the United States is to get this civil war going. Because you notice how much pushback they've been getting. There's no
yes.
way that they're going to, even the sheriffs, they said no. So the only way they can bring in, you know, world communist government is by taking away the guns from the United States. That's the bottom line. That's what I think.
Yeah.
You know, and they,
well, you
and
know
they
what happens when you take away the guns? I mean, you look what's going on down in Australia right now, where people are being arrested for Facebook posts. And it's going to be coming here
yeah.
if we surrender our guns.
they also use psychological operations such as, let's say, for example, if, I'm not saying that that video is fake, but if it was fake, it's to keep you shut up. You see what I'm saying?
So yes.
One of the things that they really want to do, they use fear.
Didn't work in my case.
Everything is about fear. Right, exactly. And you notice how they're shutting down all the Facebooks and all the YouTube channels mm-hmm. all over the place. I've been studying this for 10 mm-hmm. years. And they're doing it because they don't want us to organize. If we organize and we inform the masses, it's over for them. You know, it can be. But the thing is...
Well, I've been trying to organize and inform for going on 30 years now. And unfortunately, what you said before is right. The right refuses to be triggered, which if we want a peaceful country, that's kind of a good thing. But at some point, there's going to be enough of a provocation. You know, somebody obviously wants to stir up a huge amount of trouble and possibly get that civil war going that you're talking about.
Well, I think that the last thing we want to do is for us to start killing each other. And they did did that in China. So I think the best route for us to do is to, at the price of a stamp, send what I just said in a letter to your neighbor. You know what I mean? And just say, you know, for the price of a stamp, send it forward to the next neighbor. That kind of thing, and billboards, as well as calling into talk shows and, you know, start putting this out there and saying, hey, look, is it possible that this is what's going on? Because we need to get this out far and wide so people stop what's going on and start, because a lot of black people are against Black Lives Matter, you know? So
yes.
If we get the masses getting, you know, rallied up and saying, enough with this COVID stuff, get the heck out of here, you know? We know who's behind all this. It's time to get out of our country and stop messing with us. Then maybe we have a chance. But we have to be not afraid and not so complacent. I know we're entertained by our televisions and what's going on in the news, but if we don't take steps, there's going to be – I don't want to see us down to 99 million people like Deagle.com. You know, Deagle is a military arms website. So why are they putting up our population being at 99 million by 2025?
That's not good.
No.
No.
Anyway, so good luck to everybody out there. I hope you're all prepared. But I think you got about maybe 6 more months to a year tops.
No, I think it's really going to start coming apart after the election if they pull that stunt with the mail-in ballots. Anyway, Dee, thank you very much for the phone call and the warning. We're going to switch over to Paul in New Jersey. Hello, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hello, Michael. Michael, I hope John Stadmiller is, going to be able to do something to calm Jamie Kelso down tonight, because the fact of the matter is his head's got to be exploding from the article in The Atlantic by Jeffrey
yes.
Goldberg titled Trump, Americans Who Died in War Are Losers and Suckers. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, if he's really thinking that behind the scenes, I like it, because I think a lot of that myself when I look back into the what happened in the 20th century, all the unnecessary deaths, all the unnecessary wars. And I find it interesting that it's, you know, here it sounds clearly Jewish with a name like Goldberg, that Jeffrey Goldberg has basically got to uphold our World War One and Two narratives, which is you got to fight the Germans. And whenever we fight the Germans, that's clearly the best thing we could ever do, the most patriotic thing an American has ever done. And what's ironic about this is I doubt Jeffrey Goldberg was in the military, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I always don't – and I don't like people who are chicken hawks. I've said on your show, I'm a dove. I've always been a dove. I live a dove, and I talk like a dove. I look at the World War One and Two, and all I saw was a genocide of European people. That's all I see. Complete waste. Achieved no objective whatsoever, just to cull the European population of some of their finest, best people. And so I think it's ironic that here Jeffrey Goldberg, again, he's the champion of warfare.
Okay, Paul, I'm going to have to put you on hold.
Sure.
Hold that thought. I'm going to come right back to you after these words from our sponsors. We should be hearing music. Okay, I guess we're going to... All right, Paul, keep on going. I guess we're going to miss this last commercial break. Go ahead.
But it seems like it's what Pat Buchanan said in the 90s that got him in trouble, the Amen Corner.
Yes.
You know, you got a bunch of chicken hawk Jews like this Goldberg, because it's proven Jews are about 2%, 3% of the population. They make up less than one half of 1% of U.S. servicemen. That's a fact.
Mm-hmm.
And so here you're going to have a guy who doesn't serve in the military. Not that I'm saying you have to, but he's the one egging on a wars and justifying World War II. And so I think it's a very healthy thing that Donald Trump is looking back on World War I and being skeptical of it and saying, how did we benefit from it? What good was it? And I just hope that Donald Trump will take the next step from that, because if he's already thinking about that, about World War I, I have a feeling he's thinking about it in World War II. Because really, there was only not much of a difference between both wars, except just even greater carnage and unnecessary carnage. And so for me, I'm loving what Donald Trump's saying. I think it's truthful. I think we need to reexamine this failed foreign policy of the past 100 years of American interventionism. And I got to, and hats off to Donald Trump also, because he really hasn't done that much military adventurism or interventionism, any of that. I wish he would close the bases overseas. I guess he can't or isn't going to. But nonetheless, he's been rather dovish, which I see as, you know, like consistent. In other words, a consistent chicken, right,
mm-hmm.
has at least got a consistently chicken foreign policy. And that's why hats off to Donald Trump. But with a guy like Jamie Kelso, you know, who says, you know, you can't, if you reexamine World War II, you're a Hitler lover, right, he's going to have a real problem with this. And so good luck to him tonight, Jamie, all right? And maybe you can consider, you know, some pharmaceuticals for your issue. On that note, thank you.
All right, we're going to switch over to Joe in Nome. Hello, Joe. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, this is kind of a mishmash between Emmanuel Velikovsky and Common Core.
Okay.
I'm a chronic, mnemonic, supersonic, teutonic, ebonic, hooked on phonics, and I'm on it like Comet Vomit. Speaking
okay.
of comets.
Yes.
You've heard of Emmanuel Velikovsky, right?
Oh, of course. Worlds in Collision.
Ages in Chaos, yeah, and so on.
Yeah.
It was a trilogy. That's basically my catastrophism world outlook. And it seems to me that we're headed there again. There's probably people that know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a couple of quotes.
Okay, real quick.
You've heard of, Samuel Clemens. I don't know if he said this or not. It's easier to fool the people than to convince the people they've been fooled. Have you ever heard
I've
that
heard
quote?
I've heard the quote. I'm not sure if that's Samuel Clemens, Mark Twain, or not.
A good friend of Samuel Clemens was Ambrose Bierce. He was published under the Devil's Dictionary.
Yes.
Have you ever heard?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, here's a quote from the Devil's Dictionary, and it illustrates my cynicism about all of this business. Patriotism, combustible rubbish, ready to the torch of anyone ambitious to illuminate his name.
Yeah.
Now, Ambrose Bierce was pretty famous in his day. He even got a cameo in that movie Dusk Till Dawn.
Mm-hmm.
In the very beginning. Of course, some actor played his part, but at any rate.
Well, that's not a cameo.
Okay, whatever you call it. I mean, I published that on my first website back in the 90s. Charles Horry Fort was another of my favorites. But speaking of genetic studies,
yes.
The majority of all domesticated plants and animals originated from a single source in eastern Turkey. Now, I brought up this topic once before with you, and you summarily dismissed me out of hand. And you can dismiss genetic studies also if you want.
Mm-hmm.
But you've heard of Cappadocia and Göbekli Tepe.
Yes.
And, of course, you've heard of Noah's Ark. These are all in the same spot or area. I mean, you can see Iran from that site where they found Noah's Ark. It was covered with volcanic ash and semi-petrified. And an earthquake in the 70s caused it to slide down a little more and start to uncover itself.
Mm-hmm.
And
I was not aware that there had been a confirmed finding of the Ark.
It was actually discovered in 1959, and it's easier to believe, it's easier to convince people, to fool people than it is. Anyway, back to that. This business about Trump assassination or attempted, that's totally biblical, too, as far as revelations go, in my opinion.
Okay, well, Joe, we're going to have to let you go. We got to take a break for station identification. We'll be back after these few words with hour number two and the lovely Lady Claire.
ConstitutiononTrial.com presents the most important question for our generation. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Witness the prosecution and defense of the United States Constitution on trial, live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and streamed live on YouTube. For the prosecution, Ted Weiland, pastor, Bible teacher, and author of Bible Law versus the United States Constitution, The Christian Perspective. Versus for the defense, Brent Allen Winters, a practicing lawyer and author of Excellence of Common Law in Light of History, Nature, and Scripture. Is the United States Constitution biblical? Live and unscripted at the Maranatha Retreat Center in Everton, Missouri, and live streamed on YouTube. Saturday, September 19th from 6:30 till 9:30 p.m. Come one, come all. This most important event is free to attend and streamed live on YouTube. Go to ConstitutionOnTrial.com.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth. Truth.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, where you'll find out what the Fukushima's going on.
Welcome back to our show, hour number two. And for those of you watching on YouTube, this gorgeous creature sitting next to me is the lovely Lady Claire. And we have a few more phone calls to get through before I turn the microphone over to her. So let's go to Joe in Tennessee. Joe, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Michael. This whole article in the Atlantic is a bunch of nonsense. I mean, it's total propaganda. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I listened to Paul in New Jersey, and he's right about a lot of things, and I don't disagree with his comments. But, I mean, to believe a Goldberg, you know, propaganda. That's the way a propaganda does. It appeals to your what you believe already and reinforces it so you can, you know, make all these claims about Donald Trump saying this or that. And whether he's a chicken hawk or not, I don't believe this story at all. Already there's like six people that were on the helicopter plane with him that deny this ever happened. And this is not the first time the Atlantic made a smear. There's going to be a lot more smears with this election coming up. They already had advertisements ready, you know, already loaded up for like 8 hours after the story broke. So, you know, this is another one of those, you know, Donald Trump got urinated on by prostitutes in Obama's hotel rooms type stories. And it's hard for me to believe that, people actually believe it, even though my own mom did at the time. Well, I wanted to say that this guy that was shot in Portland, to me, I don't hear enough people questioning the whole thing. I